just a quick note, guys, we rolled this interview out first on Hotwire. That's our premier level on Pain.tv, and we say a lot of things on there that we can't say on here because we, you know, truth tellers, there's a target on all of our heads as truth tellers, so we have to be careful. And one of the reasons we built Pain.tv is so that we can still keep hashing the truth and slinging the truth and not have to worry about these maniacs who are trying to shut people down when people say something they don't agree with. So we rolled this out on Hotwire first, my interview with Carl Denninger. And if you don't know who Carl Denninger is, you're about to find out. So we wanted to put this out. I promised Carl we will get this to as many ears as possible, and that's what we're doing here. So if you want a front row seat and you want to be first in line for enhanced intelligence and things that you're not hearing on here, and things that you're not hearing anywhere else, because if you're not, most of this stuff we say is months, years ahead of the curve, etc. So Hotwire on Pain.tv is a pretty good place, and it's heating up, and we have big plans for it. And so that's just a little intro to this interview. And so we're going to put it out to the public here on the public side, and we hope you enjoy it. And there's Carl's site is worth checking out, and it gets plugged during the episode. So thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Take care. God bless you. Folks, welcome back to Hotwire. Hope you guys had a good weekend. It's a busy weekend here. We're going to approach this a little bit different tonight than we usually do, but there was an article floating around that was claiming that there was statistically significant rise or skew in the death rate from COVID-19 vaccines by lot number. And some folks were even saying that their certain lot numbers were poisoned and they were targeting conservatives, etc. So we here tried to set out to find what's happening in regards to this. It sounded too preposterous to be true, of course. But hey, that wouldn't usually stop something from going viral. We came across some research by Carl Denninger, and I've referenced him before. He's at market-ticker.org, and just a super bright guy. And as you can see by the video, I'm also going to include a link in the story so you can follow along with some of the things he's talking about. But what I was originally going to do is, one of the things I was originally going to do was discuss the research that he did. He actually set out and he isolated all the things going on in bears with different vaccine lots. And he broke things down by vaccine lots, both Moderna and Pfizer. And then he categorized the results by the death counts per lot. So what different lots were creating how many deaths? And then again, broken down by per Pfizer, per Moderna, etc. And it's fantastic research. And also he included, as you'll see in the link, a number of graphs on the data reported deaths and the deaths by lot, worst to best, with Moderna, Pfizer. Then he also isolated J&J and found some interesting things. Janssen/J&J. So my original intent was to sit here and go over this with you guys, and as one of the things, and I thought, well, I've referenced Carl a couple times, so let's just have him do it. We'll let him do all the work, since it's his work. Now, some folks took this work and they ran with it, and I didn't give him credit for it, but that's not really how we do business. And I wanted to talk to him about many other different things, because he's been really on top of this since it started. Corona con, so to speak, and also a fellow, like myself, survivor of COVID-19. But so this is what we did. He was kind enough to sit down and spend some time with us, for you folks first, and then we'll drip this out to the other folks on the other platforms in the next couple of days. But you guys get it first. But on Hotwire, but mRNA, it's really interesting. The conversation, VAERS, mRNA, stock market. We recorded this late Friday, so it was before any of the judgments came down from the appeals court that just basically slapped down, temporarily at least, Biden's mandate. And so Carl talks about that before it actually happened, which is very interesting. He said it's going to happen one way or another. There's no way it can stand based on OSHA standards. And he talks about that. So it's just, we did the interview and I had a lot of other things going on. And then next thing you know, yesterday, Saturday, checked the wires and it was already struck down. And I said, Carl's on top of it. So I'm going to give you his website too. It's market-ticker.org. You could see it up in the URL for the video portion we just did. We just did a little video portion of his website. And he's old school and he's bright. And you know what? You'll never see this guy on mainstream media or Fox or anywhere else because, one, he tells the truth, and two, he's too damn bright. They don't put bright people on the news. They certainly don't tell... put people on the news who tell the truth when it comes to corruption, et cetera, and has the data and has done the work. And it's very interesting. And the conclusions that you may draw from lots, certain vaccine lot numbers being out of control are not the same conclusions that were being reported in the media, that the lots were poisoned, et cetera. And Carl explains his take on it. And it makes a lot of sense. So it's a hell of a conversation. I think we'll have Carl back. A fantastic interview. I learned a lot. And a guy who knows his way around the conversation. And that's what we like. We like smart people. At least I do. I think you guys do as well. So let's do that. Something different on Hotwire. And, Hotwire could be taking a different direction, a new direction. I don't know, kind of open to different things. And we're kind of just going to finish out the year on a strong note. But putting smart people in front of you and for your intel purposes so that you can digest what they're saying, where they're coming from, somebody who's done the work. His website's very interesting, too, if you cruise around it. There's just so many different things going on, so. Carl Denninger, and we appreciate his time. And I hope you folks get some ROI out of this, return on investment as well. And a lot of folks out there, they have like a gut on what's going on, and they have instincts, and they, you know, hearing it hearing it from me is one thing, but hearing it from other folks can only help back up the way you feel. Instinctually. So great stuff, and we appreciate you folks as well. After this, after we cut this loose, I got another show to record for Monday, and that should be an interesting show. So take care of yourself. God bless you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Carl. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Good man. Good man. I was reading your site again and looking for that the story on the statistics you did. You broke down with the and I panicked. I said I can't find it. There's a whole bunch of new stuff on here. I found it.
Oh, well, you have to look at the that link at the top that says the stuff that the media does not want you to read.
Yeah, I found it. Yeah, it's. Man, I don't know how you get any sleep. You're putting out a lot of information, which is great, you know.
Well, you know, I'm a data guy. That's primarily the reason that I was successful running an internet company and doing coding and things like that before MCS was an internet firm, was that, you know, I mean, the essence of success in most business endeavors is being able to look at the data and figure out what it tells you and then respond to it before your competitors do. And that's, you know, that's how you stay ahead of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I read this thing about the says wildly statistically significant skew in the death rate from COVID-19 vaccines, and I by lot number. And I read it, and I said, I have to talk about this on my show. And then I thought, why don't I just have the man who did the work come on the show? That seems like a better idea. So it is something. It is really something. I mean, and you can tell, because when I look at VAERS, you really had to do a lot of work, because they do not make it easy to do anything when breaking things down. And, of course, that's done by design, I would imagine, being conservative.
You know, the thing that's interesting about VAERS is that a lot of people do not understand exactly how that system came into be, along with the way that we handle vaccine injuries, specifically with regards to vaccines that are commonly given to children, which, you know, there's a huge sequence of them that essentially every kid gets. And most of them have gone through decades and decades of testing. The chickenpox vaccine was the last generally accepted one that was put into wide circulation. I don't really count HPV because that's a teenager thing. It's optional.
Right.
There have been schools that have tried to make it mandatory. They've all failed. Some of them have been sued. None of them have succeeded in making it mandatory. And that is in the same category as taking prophylaxis for HIV, because if you don't have sex, the only other way that it's ever going to happen to you is if you get raped.
Right.
So, you know, voluntary, that's like a vaccine against getting lung cancer if you smoke. Well, okay. You know, it's kind of, I mean, you can choose to engage in that behavior, and people say, well, you know, young people make it. Well, that's true, but there are young people who decide to become priests, nuns, or they marry the first person that they ever sleep with, and the two of them never have, you know, any outside sexual contact
right.
in their life. People have absolutely no reason to take that kind of a risk. But, you know, the other stuff, what led to VAERS and what led to the pooling of risk system we have today happened in the 1970s. We used to have this vaccine. It was part of the common childhood sequence called DTP. Everybody thinks it still exists. It doesn't. In the 1970s, there were a series of bad batches that were produced by the companies that made them. And some of them had too little material in them. Some of them had too much. It was a quality control issue. And it injured a fairly significant number of kids and killed a few. And then at the same time, there was an odd form of encephalitis that, because there was this other problem, a bunch of people believe was being caused by the shot. Okay, now as it turned out, it was later proved that the encephalitis had nothing to do with it. They figured out why that was occurring in young kids, and it wasn't connected. But in any event, the parents that were involved in having gotten a bad lots all sued, as you might expect that somebody would do. And as soon as that started to happen, the liability insurance for these companies became unobtainable, because you start killing kids, the judgments are going to be in the millions of dollars per child. And so the insurance firms, business liability insurance firms, rightly determined that there was absolutely no way they could price this risk, and they pulled the coverage. Well, then the company said, we're going to take all vaccines off the market. That was the threat they issued to Congress.
Right.
Congress turned around and gave them immunity, and then at the same time did another interesting thing, which is set up this VAERS system and imposed a tax. So essentially, every vaccine that a child gets, there is a tax that is charged on that vaccine, and that tax all goes into a fund, and from that fund are paid claims for injuries from the shot. OK, Okay. So it's essentially a forced insurance system that was put in place, which satisfied the liability people, because now you can get insurance. And the only exemption that was still left in there was for anything that related to intentional misconduct, because that's, you know, that's one of those have a banana things in the legal world. You can't waive it. So that's how we ended up with Bears. That was the same sort of BS that Congress has repeatedly done. We did the same thing after 9/11 with the airlines. Rather than let the airline industry litigate whether or not their security was reasonable in light of what happened in 9/11, we gave them immunity and put in place the TSA. Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, we've done this repeatedly throughout history. Okay. So the thing is, though, is that in general, these shots have been quite safe. And while they do generate a few adverse event reports, and in theory, doctors and other healthcare providers, hospitals, health clinics, things like this, are mandatory. In those statutes, it says that adverse events or suspected adverse events are mandatory reporting events within VAERS. However, there is no or else in the law. In other words, there is no if you don't report, you go to prison. And so as a result, throughout history, the history of VAERS, which again dates back to the early 1980s, the estimate is that only somewhere between 3% and 10% of the actual events that occur get reported. The last reasonably accurate statistical analysis that I saw that could be supported based on math and science said that the underreporting was somewhere around 40 times. So for every report that's actually in the database, you can infer there are 40 more that never got filed. However, it is reasonable to assume that those would be normally distributed, that there, you know, that there'd be no bias in, as to which lot they came from or whatever have you. And that just means that, the baseline is much higher than you think it is. And, for those lots that are hot, within this table, the adverse event rate is so high that you may as well be injecting yourself with poison. Okay, because the risk of getting hammered is immensely higher than what it looks like. The other problem is we don't have the denominators because VAERS only reports adverse events. And this is where the tinfoil BS came from, that started showing up. The expose ran an article. There were a few other people that basically said these things were deliberately aimed at red states, okay, in red areas in an attempt to kill conservatives. Problem with that argument is that if you have a lot that has five adverse events in total that go into the system, you obviously cannot have all 50 states represented in that because there's only five events. Okay, so it can only show up in five states. In order to get statistical power, you need a lot of events. Typically, the rule is you need at least 10 times whatever the baseline you're looking for is to get anything that you can statistically defend. And what we have in these hot, in the hottest lots, the very worst of them has reports from 49 of the 50 states. So I don't have any evidence that there is a weighting that was intentionally applied, in any respect. There's just no data to support that. And that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means I can't prove it because I don't have the denominators. I don't have the number of vials in each lot and the number of shots. We don't have any shots are in a vial because that's been published. But we don't even know how many vials are in a lot. We don't know if it probably varies by factory. But I don't have the decoding on the lot numbers in order to be able to figure out, you know, how to know what factory was associated with what. There probably is a coding in there. It's highly unlikely it's random. Usually what it is, it's, you know, the factory's in there, the line that it was run on is in there, and some kind of a date code, an encoded date, frequently a year and a week within a year or something like that. But again, we don't have all that information, and I really wasn't looking for that. What I was trying to do was refute the crazies, and that's exactly what I found. But what I found is that it's almost impossible that this was an intentional act. It's essentially what this data points at is what is known in engineering as a tolerance stacking problem. That there is a not understood and probably not controllable process issue within the production of these things. And essentially, when you have a chemical reaction or you have a physical process, let's say that you take the two elements and you mix them together, and then you have a chemical reaction, you end up with a product. 100% of what goes into there as reactants does not come out as product. You might get 99.9%. You might get 99%. You might get 95%. But there is an error rate, and that is true for all processes that go on within any industry. I don't care what it is. So in the biochemical world, of course, you're dealing with things that are much more complicated than a couple of elements. And if you can filter down to, say, 99% purity or even three nines, so 99.9, you're doing really good. Well, that other 0.1, what is that? Well, in this context, what you're doing is you're making genetic instructions, which are then put into a preparation that causes your cell to produce copies of that genetic instruction, in this case, the spike protein, that shows up on the surface of the cell that takes up that particular preparation. Your immune system recognizes it and attacks it because it considers it to be a foreign thing. And that's how you get the antibodies that are produced. Well, if the errors are of no importance, in other words, your body gets those, it's a bad instruction, it gets partway through the process and the process fails, then that doesn't hurt anything. You end up with a truncated process and there's no harm and there's no foul and the 0.1% is no big deal. But what happens if those things all stack up in such a way that what it produces is severely pathogenic? It produces severe outcomes or disease. It causes coagulation. It causes, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. But it has a very bad biological impact. Now you're screwed, okay? And the problem with this kind of a process is that because DNA and RNA are replication things, they're intentionally designed to make many, many copies of whatever it is you start with. Very small errors can, if they stack up the wrong way, can turn into a disaster. And you can essentially be injecting somebody with a poison.
Exactly.
And the thing is that it shows up in all three of these formulations, you know, that the Pfizer and the mRNA and the Moderna ones are both mRNA technology. The Janssen shot is not. It's a viral vector that uses an adenovirus that is supposed to be harmless in humans. And yet the same curves, although the Janssen one is less severe, it has a different slope, but the power function is still there. The fact that you see the same thing show up in all three is indicative of something that is uncontrollable, that we just don't know why it's happening, but it also means that it's not inherent in the use of mRNA technology because it's happening in the other one as well. And so that strongly implies that we've got an uncontrolled variable. We probably don't know what it is. We may not be able to isolate it. It may just be inherent in the fact that we cannot get 100% purity of the things that we're trying to cause.
Well, if you look at that, wouldn't that be a byproduct of not testing it and rushing it?
You would have found it, yeah. But realize that what the outcome of this is that there's no safe way to do this. That's what that means.
Regardless of mRNA or Johnson & Johnson.
There's no way to use a synthesis. Now, it may be possible to use something that doesn't replicate. In other words, a traditional vaccine does not cause the body to make something.
Right.
Okay. A traditional vaccine takes either an entire virus and inactivates it, basically does enough damage to it that it cannot reproduce in the body, or it uses part of a virus or part of a bacterial agent, such that the part that gets used is not capable of reproducing itself. And so the shot that you get in the arm is all that there is. There is no production of anything by your cellular machinery. It gets into your system. Your system recognizes it as foreign, attacks it, and builds antibodies. It is not known whether or not this same problem exists with an inactivated What we actually are using are not, from a technical perspective, they're not vaccines. They're genetic therapies that are designed to produce immune response. Okay,
but they're just being branded as vaccines.